Father, we come to you again this morning. We thank you for this day. And dear Lord, for this book, we're fixing to open the Word of God. And I pray in this hour now that you'd give us what is needed, encourage our hearts. Lord, this is not our home. We're passing through here. We'll focus on a new territory that God is preparing for us. We believe it so. Thou art the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Dear Lord, no one can come to the Father except through Him. And we're glad we believe that. We've staked our eternity on that by trusting Christ as Savior. And dear Father, when we focus on you, circumstances in this life sometimes seem to swallow us, but we're going to be victorious because you already promised that. Now help us look at the sign a little bit today. Rejoice, come into the house of God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me, first of all, to Revelation chapter 13. I want to read verse 16 and 17, or verse 16, 17. And might as well read verse 18. Might as well read chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. Amen. It's all the Word of God. But here we have John, God giving him information. The first beast has come out of the sea. And then we see the second beast coming out of the earth. And he said, verse 11, I want to read that. And behold, another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. And all the power of the first beast before him, he had this, he exercised that, caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wounds were healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on in the earth in the sight of men. Verse 15, and had power to give life unto the image of the beast, but the image of the beast should speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Praise God, the church won't be here when this happens. Then it said he, verse 16, and he causes all, watch this, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in the forehead, that no man may buy or sell. Why the mark? Some people get concentrated on the mark and wonder what it is, but it makes no difference what it is. This is what it's going to do. And he says that neither buy it or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the name of his name, or the number of his name, I'm sorry. Verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath an understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of the man, and his number is 666, we know as 666. Now, turn, if you will, with me over to Revelation 18. I want to read a couple of verses, actually five verses, in Revelation chapter 18. Now keep in mind, this is manifesting the Antichrist we just read, how he's going to have power in the last days. And by the way, we're right there at that. I wouldn't be surprised if he's already born, just waiting to move on sight. And he's, if he is born, he can't move no faster than God will let him. But I know this, he's going to let him come in one day, quick as we get the church, he gets the church out of the way. Now, John teaches us, again, that in 1 John, that the spirit of Antichrist was already active in his day. And that's 2,000 years ago, the first century. He said the spirit of Antichrist was already active at that particular time. He said there will be many others who come in his name, but they'll not be him. But there's going to come a person at the end of the age that the Antichrist is a person to distinguish himself as a person and not just as a spirit. So he's literally going to reign when God gives him the time to do that, thinking that he has promoted that time for himself. If you look with me in chapter 18, he said, and after these things, I saw another angel come down. Now, he's talking about here the system back in a few verses here, the views of Babylon. And we know there's two types of Babylons. We'll talk about that, or two conditions of Babylon. But he says, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having a great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, strong voice, a strong voice. You get out and holler this afternoon as loud as you want to holler, and it'll be stronger than that. And he said, Babylon the great is fallen. And he said, it's become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The only way God can explain it, Let us know there's going to be some situations distasteful for human beings in that day. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. Notice, those who are the higher class and many under them will become very wealthy in some of this time, at this time. And as they do that, all of a sudden, notice the abundance of her delicacy. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, listen, listen. God, hey, folks, listen to me. Look at me just a minute. God is always telling you and I, even in the age of grace now, to come out from among this mess. Be ye separated. He says that to the church at Corinth. Come out, be ye separated. In other words, supposed to be a difference between God's people and those people of the world. And then he says here this time to these people, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the one world global system. You hear that for the last 15 to 20 years. By the way, Republicans and Democrats are talking about one world system. We need it today because the earth has not shrinked in size, but communication has called it shrinked in the sense of what we're able to do. And because now we no longer can just look at our own goods in turn our own country and survive, we have, as countries, have to depend upon others. And we are looking at a worldwide situation where countries depend upon countries and to do that successfully, the problems we're having now, it's not linked together like they want to link it together. And those who have money are going to link the one world system together. Mark it down. It's coming fast. We've seen it already in the last 2 years. We've seen it because even now, we're watching the markets going, as it comes across, we come to our country for our Wall Street to open up. They're already watching the markets across the country before they get to us to see what ours are going to be. Because it's going to determine what happens before they get here. As the sun rises, it's going to happen, same thing here. Because we're no longer isolated from each other due to the economic situations of the world. Now, the spirit of Antichrist pervades the whole age of grace. John said in 1 John 4:3, it's already here, as he wrote to his epistle. Again, so it pervades the whole age of grace. There is an actual individual, though, who's going to rise to climax the close of human history, and it's going to be without God. He's going to make people think it's like God. And by the way, when you believe in anything or any God, your God can change with the days that go by, then you'll just accept anything. Well, they will accept anything that comes at that time, especially if it's got something supernatural about it. And this, let me tell you something. This world's not seen supernaturalism like the Antichrist is going to do in our day. He's going to make people think that he is God and believe that he's God, sincerely believe that he's God. And the only thing we have is God has warned us about it. We have to be very careful. In Revelation chapter 18, in verse 2, he talks about two Babylons. We know what those two Babylons consist of. We know, first of all, there's what we know as ecclesiastical Babylon. That has to do with religious system. I'm not going to get into that at this time. This is the time when there's the ecclesiastical Babylon, which again has to do with the religious system of our particular day. Then there's the political Babylon, which has to do with the beast and his confederation of empire. And we're seeing that come in our particular day also, the Gentile world domain. And we know that the ecclesiastical Babylon is that which has to do with the Bible calls the great whore. We know that the political Babylon, he's got to have both of these to exist. But we know the political Babylon is going to destroy the ecclesiastical Babylon. And then we know the Lord Jesus is coming back to destroy the political Babylon. And so here we have to understand these terms at this time. And so, again, you say, well, we used to think it couldn't happen. I'm amazed now. I used to feel, in my early beginning of my ministry, how in the world can it happen? Nobody looked at world as a world global system. But we're seeing in our age, you're seeing it right now in your age, that it can happen. It amazes me. How can it fall? Somebody say, well, we're not like we were back in Depression Day. We've got some safeguards. Listen, when God calls it to fall, it's going to fall. Safeguards don't safe against God unless the blood of Christ, and it's for other things other than what we think about in our particular day. You go back with me, for instance, in 1919 at the Germans, They said in 1919 the German mark was worth 25 cents. That means it took four German marks to make $1 in 1919. Ladies and gentlemen, no one thought was what fixing to happen would happen. In four years' time, the German mark fell to the place that it took 4 trillion German marks to make $1. In other words, it was worthless. There was no way they could buy or sell. They lost everything. Those Germans lost everything they had, their savings, their jobs. Their security was gone completely. The people were so devastated. They were eager to listen to any demagogue who would voice their bitterness and try to get them out of that mess. And in stepped Adolf Hitler. And he had the message that rung to the head if it didn't go to the heart. And they were looking for a deliverer, and when you lost everything, I assume that the German marks would be about like Confederate money is today. Anybody want to have some Confederate money to try to spend it? It's worthless. It may have some antique value to it. I don't know if he's even got that or not. But it's worthless. And so here, this one, everything they had, they lost. They were looking for a leader. They were looking for a giant to come on the scene to lift them out of the mess that they were in. And then we move on a little bit further in the 70s. In the 70s, we see people started getting closer to God, getting further from God. McCall Magazine did a survey in 3,000 Protestant clergymen. 3,000 Protestant clergymen were surveyed. And they said that in that survey, many of them reject a personal God in the 70s. Not only that, but they said that God was the ground of being or the force of life or a principle of love rather than being a personal being. Many, the young clergymen in the 70s, did not believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not believe that Jesus was divine, as most Protestants believe. I'm talking about what we've inherited in our particular day and what our young folks are inherited now about God. Today, there's many believe that divine truth is so rich. Now hear this. Divine truth is so rich that only a fragments of truth are found in all religious groups, in all faith. In other words, divine truth is so rich that there's little fragments of it found in all faiths and all religions. Do you believe that? No, sir. No, sir. I don't believe when you're talking about Bible truth. You may find man talking what truth is, but if you find Bible truth, you find this Bible gives absolute truth. And when you're talking about fragments of truth in that that's come from a God of some time, oh, they may have something that sounds good. They may have something that lines up with the Scripture. But if it's not Scripture, it is not absolute truth. And by the way, I don't care what kind of truth man has, God goes by the Scriptures. You know why? He wrote them. He wrote them. So we have to understand that when we talk about this global system, what has literally happened? And I believe that today, you're going to get something to bless you from this. All Bible students know that the time of the end of the age, there will be a one world system. It cannot survive unless it's that way. The Antichrist can't rule this world unless the system is set up to do that. And he will rule not just a continent, not just a country, but the world. Every worldly group that forms today is leading to this one world system. This began, by the way, back in Genesis chapter 10. It ain't something new. If you go back really 4,400 years ago, go back to Genesis 10 for just a moment, and you'll see what I'm talking about. If you look in Genesis chapter 10 in verse 8, he said, "And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one of the earth, and he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel." And then you look in chapter 11, and you said the whole earth was one language and one speech. What? The whole earth, the known earth at that time, one language, one speech. And he said it came to pass that journey from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And of course, again, they began to build a city there. In verse 4 it said, "And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose tops may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." This began This one world system, as we know, though it's a lot smaller than what we look at the planet Earth today, began in Nimrod's day. Nimrod was a great leader. He built the city of Babel. And he also built the tower that reached to the top towards heaven. Nimrod. Here's the interesting thing, ladies and gentlemen, about Nimrod and studying some things about his life. Nimrod and his wife were defiled, yet they were worshiped as gods. The people worshiped him as a god. It's interesting. The story is that while Mrs. Nimrod was carrying their first child, King Nimrod died suddenly. And because of his death, they began to declare that this baby that was born was the incarnation of Nimrod. And because of that, now there was a defiled father, there was a defiled mother, and there was a defiled child. But since the child is the reincarnation of Nimrod, the God, get this now, that would make Mrs. Nimrod, the mother of God, the son. And lost you, have you? Don't go to sleep on me now. You get out and say something I said I did say. I've got it written down. Amen. I can go back and show it to you. This is too important to miss here. Now, what does that say to us? It says to us, ladies and gentlemen, that the mother of God did not start with our Catholic friends. It didn't start there. It started in Genesis 10 when Nimrod, his wife, and their baby came upon the scene. Nimrod led the people to build one world system called Babel. They had one government. They had one religion. They had one language. They had one race. At this time, in Revelation chapter 17, 18, we see the destruction of this same system years later on a much larger scale. The first time God confused their tongues and they had to scatter, He distorted it that way in that time until they start over. Now He'll come back personally and destroy it when it ends up at the end of the age at this time. Today, Babel's system is still being built. For 400 to 300 years later, to 400 to 400 years later, it's being built. And this system will one day be led by a 21st century Nimrod called the Antichrist and be destroyed by God Himself. Now, I want to give you 8 quick points on the global system. You say, preaching 2, sure not 8, good gracious. But I'm going to run through them fast. 8 quick points about this one world system. First of all, there's got to be a one world religion. We're headed there. In fact, we're already there for that. They're just broken down into different groups. The one world religion, unity, a uniting of all world religion system together. Back during the Reformation, there was a withdrawal from the Protestant from the Catholicism. Martin Luther was one of the main leaders in that, in the 1500s. This Protestant divide later, these Protestants that split off from Catholicism began to divide later into what is, we know today, called groups called denominations. And they're like that. I'm talking about in Protestantism now, in denominations, down through the years. I do not believe that Baptists were part of the Protestant movement. Now, listen, they may have been called that for classification. We may be called that, and good, that's all right. We may be called that for classification, Jew, Catholic, and Protestant. But I'll tell you this, I believe the Baptists go back further than that. Why? Because of doctrine. If no other reason, because of doctrine. I believe in doctrine. Bible doctrine. And that would keep us straight by doing that. And so you go back even further than the Reformation is concerned. John the Baptist may have been considered a Baptist back then as we are today. Or we may not, I should say. May not be as we consider today. But I believe he would be a Baptist today if he was alive. Why? Because of doctrine. What he preached about Jesus Christ. The message he preached was doctrine about Christ before Christ ever came. And he preached it hard and preached it rough. And lost his head because of it. But look where he's at now. I'd heap rather be where he's at than where Pilate's at. I'd heap rather be where he's at than King Herod. I guarantee you now, you see him, you have a head, a glorified body one day when you see him. So here, from the book of Acts to today, there has been a faithful few who have met the criteria that is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. To preach grace, to preach salvation through Christ. To preach baptism by immersion. To preach the gospel of grace. They have always had an independent form of government where the local church operated its own business. These churches operated from the Reformation start, before the Reformation started. God's people have always fought for high, fought the hierarchy of religion who had more authority than the Scriptures themselves. God has always had some old-fashioned, fundamental, God-fearing, Christ-honoring, soul-winning, Bible-preaching, Baptist church in this world in doctrine, if not by name. I'm talking about doctrine. Look at the doctrine. And then you'll understand what I'm talking about. The second thing I noticed is we got to have not only one-world religion, but there's going to have to be some type of one-world dominating party. Because, you know, more two or three parties breaks up everything. He's going to be in charge of, no doubt, the main party that's in line to govern this particular world. This system also points to the end of the age. And I'll tell you what, and we talked about here yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry as I believe. I believe right today, and I'll say this, and I told some brethren yesterday, I really believe that right now, today, that you put Republicans and Democrats' speech in a bag and let someone reach in and get a speech out to read it, and you can't tell who it belongs to. There's a little difference, yes, but it looks like the difference comes. They wait to see what the others are going to do, and they don't want to be against it. Because what it's not in the sense of really understanding where we're at. We need help. We need help from the grassroots. We need help from people who don't take all kinds of bribes in different way back door just because they're in Washington. Hey, man! I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this world's in a mess. It's not going to get no better because it's all heading to the Antichrist until the Lord comes back. But wait a minute, preach, that be the case. Why should we worry? Because we're children of God. We're to be occupied until Jesus comes. God tells us that in His precious Word. And I'll tell you, when you get down, for the last 15 to 20 years, there has been much talk about global expansion. And it amazes me, no matter whether it be a Republican president or a Democratic president, both of them talk about global expansion because they know that's where the money's going, and the money's got to be there for the one world system. This is needed for the Antichrist. This leads us, when you have the one world dominating party, this leads to the one world government. All nations unite together in the one world government. The man of sin will head it up. You say, I don't believe in discussing politics and religion. Isn't it an interesting thing that somebody would say that, and yet you go in God's Word, and you'll find that in God's Word, God's men exhorted and warned rulers and kings and governments of evil. And tried their best to get them to see they need to get in touch with God. And let God be the one that would impress the heart. This is the mentality of our nation right now. This is the mentality that our nation has right now, ladies and gentlemen. Big investors have their money already invested in other nations. We talk about China invested here. Big investments have their money in other nations, and there is at least they say that there is at least a chance to lose investment if there is a one world government. There's less chance to lose the investment if it's invested in a national one world system. And that's what happened. You listen and get behind the scenes sometimes of people who control the finances or the economics of the world, and you find that they invest in a system that does more for the world than for a sovereign country or state. And why? Because they realize that to be the wealthiest in the world, you've got to have the world system. You've got to be involved with the world system. So the one world government is going to be just that. Here in America, these big investors have their money already, many of them in other nations, in projects that they know sometime the road. And by the way, it's got to be that. You've got to have a world religious system, a dominating party. You've got to have a world government. And here also, there's got to be one race. Now, I don't mean race in the sense of a color of skin. I mean race in the goals that which we're trying to do. Everybody moving towards the same direction. Don't everybody want to get rich? No, most everybody. Don't everybody in the country want to come to America? Oh, this is the best place in the world. We set forth that. I'm talking about a race that their goals and productivity and everything is in the same direction. And they think by doing that, we're all going to benefit from it. Now, I understand why God told Israel not to marry the Canaanites in the promised land. He said, they'll take your heart away from me. And that's what's beginning to happen in America. Pagan cultures are removing our old landmarks by law, leaving out the true living God. That's where we're at. And what's happened, we're producing another race that's leaving out God. Made up of all kinds of people from all kinds of cultures, but they're leaving out God. Oh, they've got a God. But they don't have the true God. And he's leaving them out. And I've got news for you. You know, my heart beats and pants like a deer at a water sprout somewhere or another when I think about what God's going to do one day, because he's not going to allow himself to be mocked too long. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Pagan culture controls the flesh by satisfying its desire. And so everybody's running through that now. Man alive, it amazes me. You say, well, I don't think there's just a handful of people who's flesh it is. Ain't it amazing if it is a handful how they're controlling the world over the internet on selfish desires? Isn't it amazing how we're all affected by it? Don't look at me like that. I'm affected by it just as much as you are. If I look at it, I've got to keep looking at it and not be affected by it. And you can't live in this world without seeing some of it. You don't have to go looking for it. You can just be casually doing anything and all of a sudden it come by you, pass you, or come to you somehow or another. And so therefore, because of that, we also had, there's going to be a one world sex crazed society. Brother, if we're not headed there now, I don't know what's happening. I mean, we live in a sex crazed world promoted by the internet more than anything else in this world. It's the most making money mechanism that you have in this world. The sex craze is not male, it's not female, it's just people. By being people, if I'm a male and I don't want to be a male, I want to be a female, I'll just fix myself to be a female. If I'm a female and don't want to be a female, I want to be a male, I'll just fix myself to be a male. After all, we're all just people. No, we're not! I'm a man. That means I'm a male. If you're a female, a woman, you're a female. And by the way, I didn't have a thing to do with that. God, in His procreation, brought me into the world with my mother and dad with the DNA to be who I am. And there's no other person like me on the face of the earth. Don't say amen. Because I'll tell you this, there's no other person like you on the earth either. You're original. Everyone in here is an original. Everyone in here is an original. So I say, this is not male, not female, but just people. This is rotten to the core. Rotten to the core. Yet it's been accepted in our society as the norm. One world religion, one world party, one world government, one race, one sex-crazed society, living according to the flesh and not according to God. Isn't it amazing? You can do about anything that's ungodly that you think on this world, and the world will laugh at it and not even make fun at it, enjoy it, and you can get up and say something about Jesus Christ, and they'll take you to court on account of it. They do everything they can. They're going to try to put out His name. I'm glad to know He's already won this thing. Then there's one world language. Language barriers today separates us. Yet, oh yeah, we have interpreters, but one language is needed for the one world government. And I believe that language is really going to be English. They tell me now, and I know we've had some in our church, I remember, went to China, was going to teach English. I was told here recently that you can go by to any country now that keeps you out if you teach English. See, the dominant. I don't know what other language could be, but if it's any language that could be that language, it probably is English. Then there's the one world number. We always saw that, Revelation 13, verse 16, 17. This be a universal number. It's looked at as 666. And how that's going to be, we don't know. But we know it's going to be in the family of that and how God allows that to be done. One thing is for sure, though. Without it, you'll not survive at the end of tribulation period. You can't buy. You can't sell. If you don't have it, you lose everything you got. If you don't have it, you're an enemy to the government worldwide. If you don't have it, you can't hide anywhere because they're fixing it now. They can travel you and know where you're at, even a rabbit hole somewhere or another. That's what they're heading to do, a one world system. So no matter where you go, where I go, there'll be controls. See, the Antichrist has got a control, and he's not like God. He don't know your heart. He don't know everything. He has to know only what he can control, only what he knows, and there's systems that he'll set up to try to do that in that particular day. One card would cover everything. Or this number, whatever it is, it'll cover everything. No matter where you're at, it'll cover everything. You'll bank by it. I say you not. They'll bank by it. Let's change that around. Where we're going, I don't know. We probably won't need no banking over there. Amen. Amen. Everything's instantaneous. When we get to heaven. But when you think about this, you bank by it, you buy by it, everywhere you go, no longer have to worry about passports and so forth because you got a number yourself that's worldwide. No matter where you go, you'll know where you're going. They can track you anywhere because of that number. And it's coming, ladies and gentlemen. Already talking about now that you can, best way in the world to keep people from, I just seen if you saw a series this week on fraud charge cards and the billions of dollars that's been got named hack in. I had no idea that some of these countries as poor as Joe's Turkey can do things that we in America never thought of, and we're intelligent. Going into people, go and get people. Did you see that recently? Can go and get your card, your card, and max it out within 2-3 minutes. All over the world. Buy things all over the world. And even one thing you can do about it. They can do it so fast. They know if they get it, they better. And they've literally got networks where they go on. They've got code names that where they can sell and buy and swap and do things like that. What do y'all look at anyhow? No wonder I'm upset. You know it's not seeing what I see. But it's dangerous. Some people lost like $4,000 or $5,000 just in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes. And some of them lost more than that. So again, this number is going to be very important. So you end up with a religion, world party, one government, one race, one sex class society. You have a world language. You got a world number. Then there's got to be the one world law. This law is the law of the individual. Doing that which is right in their own eyes. By the way, there was a time in the Bible that did that. And when you have that, there's chaos for those who are not the dominant person. Doing what is right in one's own eyes. How in the world could the law of the individual work? Well, let's give a simple example. Suppose you and I, let's suppose we own a plane. We had one of them big 747s. And we were flying to Dallas. And just about the time we got in the air good, this joker got up. He's not among us in here today, so you don't know who it is. But say this guy got up. He said, I feel like flying this plane. He said, what do you mean flying this plane? I I'm an individual. I'm free. I want to fly this plane. Man, you better leave this plane alone. No, I have a right to fly this plane. I'm free if I want to fly the law of the individual. But wait a minute. Do you know how to fly a plane? No, I never flew one before. Don't you think you ought to let the experts do it? You don't misunderstand. I'm free. I should be able to do anything I want to do. Well, you know that's hypothetical in a crazy situation. But I'll tell you this, I'd like to dump him out the door as quick as I could. If he's never flew a plane, don't get in there trying to fly. Even the captain says, all right, go ahead and try. Why? He's no expert at it. And I'm in the air 30,000 feet. I want an expert. Amen. My arm don't flop fast enough to get me out. Again, somebody goes to a doctor. And he said, Charles, you need to be operated on. Or I won't say me, somebody else. You need to be operated on. And he says, no, sir, I'm not going to let you, doc, operate on me. Well, why not? I just don't. I don't like the way you do things. Well, why? He said, I'd rather let Bill the mechanic operate on me for you. Go ahead then. Bill the mechanic, even though he's free, is not a doctor. What I'm saying is this, we're free, but my freedom stops when it hurts me. My freedom to you and each other stops when we hurt each other. I may have freedom up to a point, but if it overlaps to hurt you, then my freedom is gone. And God puts in that particular way. Go to dentist. Say, Dennis, I got a tooth. He said, open your mouth. I'm not going to open my mouth. Why not? I'm just not going to open my mouth. Well, how do you think I'm going to get to your tooth? Well, you have to find a way and open my mouth. I'd tell him to leave. Amen. Well, you can't do dentist work without opening your mouth. The only place where you do it, and I'll say anything. Amen. What I'm saying is this. We're living in an age where everybody are experts or leaders because of education. In this world system, is lean into this mentality. The followers know what the leaders know. I'm closing. They think most of the time. But when people become leaders with not enough wisdom or gifts or skill to be a leader, you have chaos. Good fundamental rights are destroyed. A worker who plays by the clock only to create skill, having no creative skill, that person is never productive. And that type of person brings trouble sooner or later because they have never learned to follow. To be a leader, one must know how to follow. But the Antichrist is coming on the scene and will take people who support him, whether they're leaders or not. And in such a society as this, there is no law but the law of public opinion or the law of the individual. Now, today, in our country, laws can be passed. But if public opinion is against that, then you can be sure that they cannot enforce the law. They may try, but we have to live in the country now that if enough people get behind it, we see that already, that if a law is on the books and it's not public opinion to enforce it, that it cannot be enforced. We have a lot of laws on the book in our nation today that's not enforced due to public opinion. I mean, for instance, I saw recently out in the Midwest where one town society had a law that you could not put clothes on the clothesline. This is back before they had washing machines. Like, you cannot wash and put clothes on the clothesline on Sunday. Now, public opinion has changed that. You put it up there any day now, according to what they say. Sometimes this can be good or it can be bad. And when a person in public opinion sets God aside, that's bad. When public opinion says we don't need the true and living God, he can be any God you want him to be, that's bad. Public opinion is eliminated under the Antichrist. There will be no public opinion. There will be a forced opinion by him, and you can't survive without being part of that. If you don't, you will die, or they will die in that age. Yes, we need leaders, but we also need plumbers and carpenters and electricians and mason workers and mechanics. We need the man that turns the stop sign on road construction. That's a good job, isn't it? I'm glad we got them. I've seen some cases that have been a piled up mess if we didn't have them. Hadn't you? You say, that's a simple sign. You say, boy, isn't that amazing having a job like that? Boy, I'm glad they got them. Because when you can't see the other end, I'm glad somebody's letting me know it's safe to go as far as they're concerned. But if I'm here turning that sign, that's my job to do. Let me do it as good as I can so there's no accident, no problems. But at the same time, if I got skills to do more than that, notice those skills and let me become an operator of one of the big machineries. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong in someone bettering themselves. But what I'm saying to you, everybody can't be leaders. And the Antichrist knows that. So he's going to have followers. And the only way to have followers under his system is to make it mandatory that you, to exist, to survive, you'll have to have and do what he says to do. These professions, as far as I just mentioned, mechanics and plumbers and electricians and mason workers and all of these different jobs and professions are just as honorable. And hear me, I mean this. These jobs are just as honorable as an office personnel or CEO in a big company somewhere or another, because they're necessary for us to survive as an individual. So sometimes it looks like that we're in a confused mess. It looks like when you look at the system that there's just no way out of it. And by the way, if it were not for God giving us information, we would have no channel out of it. Sometimes it looks like a big confused mess. And then while I've been studying this message for the last number of weeks, the thought came to me, I realized in reality, it is an organized mess by Satan himself. It's an organized mess by Satan, laying the groundwork for his person that's opposite Christ called Antichrist. Satan's got enough mind now to know after 6,000 years what it takes to conquer the minds of people as long as God gives him the leeway to do what is in God's plan and purpose to end this thing. And Satan thinks he's going to just throw everything out of whack and someday be God when God just said, I'm going to let you run your course, son. And when the time comes, I get through with you, I'll put you where you need to be. And I'm glad to know that. So I realize this is an organized mess by Satan, leading to a one world government, one world religion, one world party, one race, one world sex-crazed society, one number, one language, one law, get the mark to survive will be the main law. Get the mark to supply, to survive. These eight things make up a one world government. They're really necessary to build the foundation to build upon for the Antichrist himself to set up his reign. People will fall in line or suffer the consequences. And I thank God for the victors in Jesus Christ. And I say, as I look at him coming, God takes me through the exodus of death, well, or if he takes us through the rapture, I say, even come, so Lord Jesus. Because that's the only thing he's going to sell it. If you're here and you're not saved today, this whole thing of the church is because God so loved this world that you could come to be a child of God. If you're not saved today, how can the name of heaven, you look at, there's not one in here that's not pinched by the economics of our world today. How in the world can we look at that and hear messages about what God has said and his word would happen and not realize there is an authority. There is an authority. And he's Jehovah God. And he's the same authority that says, this is my beloved son, speaking about Jesus Christ and whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. That's what he said in the gospel. And you know what he said? One day he stood in John 14, verse 6, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he didn't stop there. He said, and there's no other way you can come to the Father but by me. Same authority. Same authority. If you don't know Christ as Savior, someone listen by the way already in a few minutes, don't know Christ as Savior, listen to the authority and know it's God. He loved you that much. Our Father, I want to thank you again for the little windows of insight that you give us about what you're doing. Lord, we can't get it all together because it's too vast. But we see a little glimpse of things, and that helps us to pace our life here, trusting you, to know that we're at the threshold of the end of the age. We're in the latter part of the last days. Now, that doesn't mean you may go another year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, but still at the same time. The last 2,000 have gone by. We're closer now than ever. And it may be just a few days from now. Lord, you keep your word. You said you cannot lie, Titus 1:2. You cannot lie. I believe that. It's not that you would not. You said you cannot lie. And I believe that. I'm glad, Lord, that as I live in my time and look at the horizon and see what's happening, and sometimes feel helpless because we can't do, there's not a one in this building can do anything about our situations right now because it's governed by higher power. It had to do with the government. And we feel helpless. And I'm glad when that comes, we can look beyond the government into heaven. And God will give us by faith an eye view of our Heavenly Father. He gives us understanding that Jesus sat at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us to help us. He prayed for us even while he was here as he prayed for the disciples. That God would take care of us while we're here. To the channel of faith, we look beyond the circumstances and trust you. Oh yes, it doesn't mean the circumstances don't hurt us. But our Father, there's a peace that God gives us to know that when we're where we'd be for you, everything's all right. Everything's all right. Somebody needs to hear that voice today. And all they need is Jesus. And they hear the sweet voice of God in the comfort of their heart to know him as Savior. Everything is all right. In Jesus' name we pray.